It is not our intention, it was not planned to bring more conceptual energy at the end of the retreat, where we want to simply sit in silence and cherish each moment of that space, that energy that we have created. However, since the subject of the last talk is critical of enormous importance, there are still certain elements we need to complete in this understanding of the dimensions of me. First, we decided to change the terminology so that these words, concepts, reflect more precisely the subtle dimensions, levels of me. They can be better understood, grasped, or intelligence. Instead of using the term conscious me, since it is not really conscious me, as we clarified, we will use the term observer. And instead of using the term pure conscious me, we use the term conscious me. The sense of me in the mind, which is where most humans evolve in and into, is the observer. And if we wish, we can even attach to it the traditional term, which is actually the real meaning of it, ego. Conscious me is not the ego. It is already a level of me that is connected to the dimension of subjectivity. It already has energy of reality in itself, in spite of its limitations. The observer or ego, we call it the observer because ego is just too general and it has certain resonance in the collective consciousness that does not reflect precisely what it actually is. So the observer is more appropriate. The sense of me in the mind is functional. It is a function which has too little of the sense of identity to actually become conscious of itself, but it has enough sense of identity to create a coherent chain of thoughts, to reason. Evolution of the observer is important for those who are lost in the subconscious reality. This is what most of those meditation techniques do, by developing mindfulness, watchfulness. They're actually working on the level of the observer, trying to bring more solidity and continuity to that sense of self based on the observer. It's like Buddhism. Buddhism is foolish enough to deny the existence of me, but it is wise enough to work towards the development of the observer. Without having the observer developed, there is no bridge with conscious me. One is simply too unconscious, too chaotic. The intelligence of the mind is too much fluctuating. The observer is somehow able to, even energetically, bring certain solidity into the mind. That path, which we represent, is directed to those souls which have the capacity to evolve beyond the observer. It is not by chance that we are not addressing the observer, its development. We are not working on mindfulness in a traditional sense. We are reaching deeper into the dimension of me. Those souls whose observer is undeveloped, they simply cannot connect to this path. They are too much disconnected from the dimension of me. If the observer is so unconscious, so lost and chaotic, how it can shift into conscious me? When the observer reaches a point of evolution where it has enough substance and intelligence that it can actually disconnect, disassociate from its involvement in the mind and can become conscious of itself as itself, in itself. This where conscious me in a true sense, for the first time, is born. It is a big thing, as we already said, simple, fundamental. But from the standpoint of human evolution, a major step. When you look into the eyes of another person, even if this person is not on the spiritual path in a strict translation of this term, and you feel that there is someone there, not just observer, ego, concentrated, or someone who is like spaced out, empty, But you feel that actually there's someone there. You can feel certain sense of integrity of that self that is looking through the eyes of this person. It usually means that this person has already connected to conscious me. This person is already to a degree real. Some humans have this heaviness in the front of their heads. It is full of mental energy. It is not only extremely uncomfortable to them, but also to their surroundings, to other people, whether they are conscious of it or not. That energy in the front, that concentration, that it's not even concentration, it is a heaviness there, should not be confused with conscious me. Their me is not conscious at all. It is a mental ego, observer, self, locked in those energies of the mind, like in a prison, constantly processing them. How this understanding reveals itself, how it unfolds. And no one is really doing it, no one is thinking about it. Certainly not Anadi. He's more interesting things to think about. It shows you evolution of intelligence. Evolution of understanding, how that which before could not be grasped, it was there, but it was not grasped, it was not met properly, suddenly becomes clear, and it is clear and simple, but before it was not, it was in the dark. So now when it is clear, when it came into the light of understanding, everything makes much more sense. And you can understand yourself deeper, and therefore you can relate to yourself deeper. And you can, in a much more efficient way, accelerate the process of becoming your real self. As you know, one of the biggest problems on the path of meditation in different schools of meditations and in your own personal path is being stuck in the observer. It's like not being able to get rid of it. Constantly watching something there, constantly relating, even if you have access to deeper consciousness, that observer is constantly relating. It does not give you a break. And why? Because it is not in a profound enough relationship with itself. It is not conscious. It is like your mental robot. That's why ego cannot be simply transcended, cannot be erased. The battle with ego was happening for thousands of years in all those traditions that see its annihilation as their goal. You cannot win that which has not been understood. That's why, paradoxically, the first step in the complex journey beyond the ego is how that ego, how that observer relates to itself, not to its functions, but to its own sense of self. And how at certain point it splits from the mind. Instead of observing, suddenly it starts to be. It actually learns how to be. And then the deeper dimension of me is being revealed, conscious me. The first step in our entry into the plane of subjectivity, the first step towards I am-ness. the faculty of observing is part of human intelligence. Naturally has to be retained. The deeper we move into the dimension of me, however, that function itself transforms. Becomes transparent. That intelligence, which can observe or check, does not anymore have a sense of me, or that sense of me, which is embedded in it, is transparent, decentralized. It does not create the observing faculty anymore, the center of ego. The understanding and realizing more and more inside yourself, the quality of transparent intelligence is very important. It's very important that you actually learn how to think, how to use the mind. To think. While thinking is linked to the dimension of intelligence, is to think from the depth of the soul and from the depth of surrender. It is a holistic thinking. It does not happen just from the front of your head. The whole consciousness is involved, allowing that intelligence to flow, to be creative, and to truly understand. If intelligence is not connected to the light of I am, no matter how clever it is, it cannot understand. It cannot know. There's no knowing in it. Only when we are connected to reality, knowing can manifest. So to sum it up, the observer develops first in order to move beyond the subconscious and semi-conscious reality of the mind. which is dreamlike, which is childlike, infantile state of consciousness. Of those unevolved humans, when the observer reaches a point of evolution where it is solidified enough, existentially and energetically, it has enough substance. And its evolution has been connected to a certain amount of spiritual intelligence. It is ready to experience transformation into the higher me. The conscious me can become conscious of itself. And in this act of becoming conscious of itself, its existence is separated from the mind. It is close to the mind, but it has split from it. And this is how the one who can truly begin the spiritual journey into the light of consciousness, this is how that one is born from the unconscious, subconscious, mental, human self. It is that one that through surrender to the light of consciousness allows, through its own sacrifice to the awakening of pure me, that me, that dimension of me, which is a pure reflection of the universal consciousness in our individuality, the one who can merge with the light of I Am, allowing our higher self to come into existence, our very soul, awakening of which is the reason, the purpose of our creation and evolution in time. And just to say that the observer does not become conscious me just by the virtue of having a sense of me. It obviously does have a sense of me, but the sense of me which is locked in the mind. For the conscious to me to manifest, there has to be a profound change in the relationship of the observer with itself. Even a certain quality of surrender into itself, as if it began already to gravitate towards pure me. And in that change, its existence separates from the mind. Even though that more evolved conscious me has already the quality of pure me, it's still like another dimension. It cannot bridge itself with pure me. It cannot metamorphose itself into pure me unless the foundation of consciousness is present, which creates this bridge with something universal, with the universal light of consciousness. It cannot alone cross this bridge between itself and pure consciousness, but in this, its longing to cross this bridge, which is coupled with its surrender, the one who is bridging these two is awakened, the pure me. Even though the more evolved conscious me has certain characteristics of pure me, it is still experiencing the front of the head. That is the very easy way to distinguish between these two, conscious me and pure me. The development of the observer is like the crescendo of human evolution as humans within evolution in consciousness, that is. The moment we are entering into the dimension of conscious me and pure me, another evolution begins. Towards the self, towards the soul. It is like the becoming that observer, becoming that human mind in its highest development, where the quality, where the sense of self is solidified. As the observer is like moving, like reaching this highest point of coming out of the source from the unconscious, subconscious into the that which begins to be conscious, which is experiencing itself as the conscious mind and the observer. Afterwards, there's like a process of returning back to the source. All this energy, consciousness that has developed, it somehow turns back and begins its pilgrimage, its journey back in a conscious way towards the light of I am. So that which returns back to the light of creation, to the source of existence, is not the same one who began the journey. It is a new being. That's why we say that the soul never existed. What existed is the light from which our soul is made, but it was not embodied through the essence of me. It was purely impersonal. So we are all going back home, but this time as adults, in a spiritual sense, as mature, as intelligent beings that have the integrity, who have realized their pure nature, the light of me. That point, the highest point, the furthest point away from the source, which is the human crisis. This is what everyone translates as an acute sense of separation. One cannot live in that place. Neither one can go back in consciousness. One has to go forward. One has to return through further evolution, not through regression in evolution. So that furthest point of being away from the source, which is the clear sense of being the observer, is the point of return. And the science, the art of that return, is the path, teaching, the great way. The deep inner work that must be based on profound understanding, complete clarity. And the ability to renounce the false.